Unfortunately, I can't teach you how to hypnotize people. Maybe I should learn how to do that and teach you next year. but we will talk about a bit of negotiation theory. Why do we do this? There's a guy named David Eves who has done a lot of work with free software projects, like, for example, Mozilla, on how, on why they are successful and how to make them more successful. And what he found was that the projects that have been the most successful are the ones that are good at all sorts of social skills. Being able to negotiate is a major one. we negotiate all the time, but not all the time do we think of it as a negotiation. So, for example, with certain people you have a relationship and you have an interest when talking to them. sorry. If your interests are poorly aligned and your relationship to this person is poor, then you're probably going into this conversation with, oh my God, this is gonna suck. Whereas if your relationship with this person is pretty good and your interests are aligned, you're probably not going to think of this as a negotiation. And you're probably going to assume that this is going to go fine. But all these black boxes, we go there thinking, oh my God, this is gonna suck. But us going in there with this thinking makes these more difficult than they might need to be. So how do you negotiate? This is a huge topic that can fill books. Thankfully, brilliant people have already written a lot of brilliant books about this. And the ones I can highly recommend are the ones by the Project on Negotiation at Harvard, which you can find at this link. And I will talk a bit about some of their findings. They have done conflict negotiation in small family disputes, but also supported negotiations in really hard conflicts all over the world, like the Israel-Palestine conflict. so we're negotiating all the time in a free software project, be it to address a personal grievance, why we're discussing on a mailing list, why we're doing patch review, should this patch go in or not, why we're doing bug triage, is this a bug, is this not a bug, should this wish list go in or not, should this be one fixed or not, and so on. Or why we're creating a roadmap, why we're prioritizing features, and much more. These are all negotiations. But we often only think of the first one as a real negotiation. The problem we have in free software is, of course, that we are doing these negotiations without sitting across the table from this other person. There's at least two computer screens between us, which makes this a lot harder. So, the first and most important one, in my opinion, of the negotiation basics that I want to talk about is talking about interests instead of positions. So, what do I mean by that? If you, for example, have a user come to you and tell you, I want this button to be green, that's a position, then you can say, green buttons suck. There will be no green buttons in my program. There does not seem to be a way to bring these two positions together. You can't have green buttons in your program and not have green buttons in your program. Doesn't work. But what you should be doing instead, of course, is ask, why do you want this button to be green? Why do you need it to be green? And it might turn out that that's easier for him to read, or easier for his kid to read, or whatever. Entertaining his cat, who knows? At which point, you can of course start talking about, okay, you can also entertain your cat in some other way without this button being green. Maybe we have a bouncy ball in there, or whatever. So talk about why the other party actually wants what they are asking you for. Because this is the only way you can get away from, but I want this, but you can't have this. The second basics, active listening. If you are talking to someone and you're not really listening to them, they notice. And this is not helping you in your negotiation at all. They will feel not listened to. They will feel you don't understand what they actually want. And this makes the whole process more difficult. So, and active listening means that you, for example, after this person explained to you what they want, clarify with them, oh, is this actually what you want? Did I understand this correctly? And so on. Summarizing what you think they want. This gives them the feeling that you actually listened to them and that you understood correctly what they want from you. Often, this gets you 80% of the way. The next one, independent standards. Negotiations can be really tough. And what one thing that can help is finding one or even more than one independent standard that you can help to lead your negotiation and discussion. For example, someone wants to build a house and they want it to be 5 stories high, but their neighbor of course doesn't want such a high building next to them. They just want it to be 3 stories high at most. So they could look around and say, okay, what does the city actually allow us to do here? Or what's the average height of houses that is in this area? That might be some independent standards in this situation, and hopefully there's one or more in the area you need to negotiate. Another thing that I found very useful to understand is when there's a conflict in which you negotiate, that conflict can escalate. And conflicts escalate in certain stages. And someone named Klasel made a very nice model of this. And if you understand this model and have it in mind, it's much easier to see where you actually are in your conflict and how you can move forward from there to get out of it. So Klasel describes 9 stages. and the first one of which is hardening, the second is debates and polemics, and the third is actions, not words. He explains this at the example of, for example, some school kids on a playground. So first there might be someone who thinks, ah, this person looks a bit strange, I don't really like them, and And in the second stage, they might go and talk to them and say a few nasty words or so. And in the third stage, they might go and bump into that person and so on. And in the fourth stage, they might, for example, try to find other people around them who can support them, and in this coalition, as he calls it, be against this other person together. Then at some point, one of those does something stupid and loses face and can't really go back. And in the sixth stage, they might be starting to threaten each other. And the seventh, eighth, and ninth stage, this is where it gets actually ugly, and they're starting to hurt each other to the point where together into the abyss is all that counts. So there's no regard anymore for what kind of damage is done, for example. And the thing you need to keep in mind here is that the further conflict is down this line, the harder it is to get out of it again. And the harder you need to work to make up for what happened in all of these phases before it. Now, to the two most important negotiation tips that I have. The first one, talk. Don't let resentments build up and go to that person after you've been mulling and being angry at this person for half a year already without them actually knowing that you have a problem with them or about something they did or whatever it is. So go to that person and talk to them early. Don't let this build up. And the second one is, of course, care. If you care about something in the negotiation, and then this shows. And you should not be caring to the point where you can't see anything outside your own position anymore. But you should care about what you want to achieve. This was just a quick rundown, and I hope it was really useful for you to get started with this. And I can only recommend that you read some of the book of the Harvard projects on negotiation if you want to dive deeper into this topic. Questions? Thank you.
I have one comment and one question. So the comment is, if you want to read one book, I would recommend Getting to Yes. That's a pretty short one and it's brilliant. My question is, you, at the beginning you said the most successful projects are those where the people have strong soft skills. So my question would be, Linux is a very successful project, so what soft skills does Linus Torvalds have?
I would claim that that is the exception to the rule.
He's fun and I have a lot of humor.
Any more questions?
Just to add to that comment, I think within the Ubuntu project there is also some people who could do with learning some of this and taking that on board. But My other thought was that one of the problems that we have in free software is, of course, our communication methods are fairly impersonal. They're email, and it's easy to end up in a kind of in a flame war and over email or something. Would
yes.
it be a good advice to say that when you notice that heated debate is coming, that you use some other communication method that is a bit more personal, some video conferencing
Definitely.
The more, or something?
More personal you can make this, the better. Not personal in the sense of attacking people, of course, but actually seeing them.
Yeah, I would indeed use face-to-face meetings as much as possible. I wanted to add a rather colorful illustration of the point that you made at the beginning, which is what the goal of negotiation is. And you had this cool picture with the watery iceberg with all the stuff underneath, which I think is really cool. So when I studied and we came to this subject, they gave the following, I think, nice example, which is two sisters having a fight over the last orange in the house. And, you know, they both want the orange. Now, what they could do, you know, which is like rather a typical solution often if you both want the same thing, is that you cut the orange in half. And then you both have a half orange, which, well, isn't particularly much. Now, what you should do is indeed focus on the interests instead of the positions, because the position would be, I want the fracking orange. But the interests were actually different. One of the sisters wanted to make orange juice, the other wanted to make an orange cake. Now, if you know a little bit about cake making, you need the outside of the orange, not the juice. So if the sisters would actually negotiate, they would figure out that they could both have the entire thing they wanted. I think it's a nice example of what you try to accomplish when you negotiate properly.
Any more questions?
If your example about Linux was the Linux kernel mailing list, I think that there's more face-to-face time than is apparent on the list. Because Linus is really blunt, but he also talks to people. He goes around and talks to people. And I think that that's why it can hold together.
That might well be, yep.
And also, I believe that he's earned the people's trust. So when he says something, they don't take it personally. Maybe because of that had it beaten out of them. But and I'm sure they have lost a lot of valuable contributors because of that method. But still, they do focus on interests and not positions. So.
Yeah, when it comes to the kernel, I think they're rather successful despite the horrible communication culture than thanks to the horrible communication culture. I mean, seriously, it's... Yeah, I mean, sure, it's not completely screwed up, but they do their best sometimes. It's. I'm sorry, but there are projects, or at least there are people who look towards that style of communication and think that it's good. It's not. It just isn't. It's just, they happen to be successful, but not because of that.
What do you do when negotiation failed? So, that's great, but imagine we are further all the points and we are in a completely shitty situation. So every negotiation is done. What do we do? Kill each other, do something else, talk?
I would recommend not killing each other, first of all. and there is something that the Harvard Project on Negotiation calls a BATNA. This is the best alternative to no agreement. And you should have a BATNA before you go into a negotiation. You should know beforehand what you're going to do if you're not going to agree during the negotiation. How this exactly looks like depends too much on the particular negotiation to be more helpful, unfortunately, I fear.
I mean, once you get to fights and there's no, you know, solution, but you do need to work together. I mean, there are obviously professional, you know, mediators who can help with this kind of stuff. I mean, there are, well, usually you can solve problems. It doesn't always have to be, you know, Israel versus Palestine.
Any more questions, comments? Well, then thank you very much.
Thank you, Lydia. Please remember.